Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 155, Praying from Victory. Guest Minister Cheryl Jackson delivered this message in the New Wine in New Wineskins series on October 18th, 2020.
You should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come back at me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This parable is talking about an unjust judge who doesn't love God, who doesn't care anything about other people, what they think of him. He just wants his way. And yet, the widow who was persistent, didn't give up, kept asking him for her desire. And finally, he gave up and he gave it to her. This is not at all like our Father God. And that's what I want you to see. Our Father God is loving. He's compassionate. He's faithful. He's just. He's not unjust. He's just. He wants to answer our every need. It's up to us to want to go to him, to pray, to seek him. He wants us to, and he will grant the needs that we have in a quick way, it says, quickly. He won't wait around like the unjust judge did. He won't let us hanging. But it is important that we are patient and we don't give up. We continue to lift up his name and to pray to him. I was listening the other day to the man who had four dreams or visions about our president, President Trump. And essentially, what God was telling him was, I need you to pray for him. In different ways, but that was the essential thing. God needs each of us, you and I, to lift our voices to him, to come to him, to pray. And he'll answer our prayers. Amen. So now I want to turn this over to Sister Cheryl.
The Lord.
And she's going to encourage us in prayer. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Karen. I'm hooked up.
Okay.
Praise the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Woo! Woo! We have a full house here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to put this over to the side right now. I'm nervous. So I might as well get that over the way. Out of the way, okay? But your family, and so I'll just look at you like, well, you know what they say, look at you like you don't have any clothes on. Look over your heads, okay, whatever, praise the Lord. Welcome Facebook Live and those on podcast, and I'm here to present to you the second part of our Engage team prayer. I am the prayer coordinator, if that's what you want to call me. But Tanya contacts me when they're going to go out on the street, and then I contact those who said they are interested in being part of the prayer team. Now, you can be part of all of them or just one of them, but we're a team and we work together, and man, does the Holy Spirit work. He really moves. And so it's so good to be a part of this new wine and new wineskin that is so exciting. to see. I can't wait for the testimony for today, but I won't say anything. It's going to be exciting. And so thank you, Jesus, and we thank you for his presence. And before I start, my daughter shared this story with me, and I'm going to share it with you, okay? She said, a teacher was teaching her students about whales. She told them that it was impossible for a whale to swallow a man because his throat was too small, and a man just could not pass through it. A little girl raised her hand and said, what about Jonah? The teacher replied, I'm telling you, the throat of a whale is too small, and a man cannot fit through it. And the little girl said, well, I read in my Bible that Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. Well, irritated, the teacher repeated herself that it was impossible for her, it was impossible for Jonah to be swallowed by a whale. The little girl politely said, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah. The teacher replied, what if he's not in heaven? The little girl answered, then you can ask him. Yep, what's possible, impossible with man is possible with God, right? So the Bible says a big fish. Well, they're saying that the whale was it, and so I'm just going to go by God. It, whatever impossible with man is possible with you. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you. You're so good, and your mercy endures forever. And Holy Spirit, I surrender my tongue to you, that you would speak through me, that you would encourage your people, that you would love on them, Lord God, and get them excited, Father, about what we're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. All right, I want to start out by saying that we are in a war. Whether you know it or not, whether you want to be in it or not, we're in a war. We're in this war with unseen forces. Okay, and one of the proofs that we're in a war, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, okay, so if we weren't in a war, there wouldn't be any warfare.
True.
So for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or of the flesh, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Then for us, casting down imaginations, arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we're in a warfare, okay? Also, in 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 4, it says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Thank God we're the soldiers of Jesus Christ and not just of, you know, anything or of our own self, of the world, but of Jesus Christ. It said no one engaged in warfare, there's warfare again, entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Okay? So not only are we enlisted, but he has provided us with weapons. He enlisted us into his army. We're his soldiers with the warfare, and now we have weapons. And because of those weapons and because of what Jesus has done for us, we have the victory. He won for us at Calvary, so he's giving us everything we need to maintain. We're not trying to get victory. We already have the victory.
That's right.
We're maintaining the victory through Jesus, through the weapons of our warfare that are mighty in God, not in ourselves, but in God. Okay, so God did not leave us on our own. Everything we need is provided for. His name, his blood, his love, we praise, we worship, and then there's prayer. I'm sure there's others. So I'm going over with you is the weapons. Those are some of the weapons. Blood, his name, his love, praise, worship, prayer, which I'm sure there's others. Because we do have an unseen enemy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us abundant life. That's John 10:10. Okay, and the scripture says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I want you to notice that we're not fighting, we're wrestling. Okay, we're wrestling. Okay, but against principalities, and I looked that up, principalities, tyrannical oppressors. That's what my definition was. And against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Another definition was the master spirits. Against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So we know that when Adam and Eve, you know, gave up their rights, they were given to the enemy. And so now he's the prince of the power of the air. And he's the one that influences people against people. And that's why it says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not the person. It's the spirit behind them, influencing them to do things. Amen. Right? Because preparing this week, there were some spirits behind some stuff trying to come after me. But I told God, I said, God, I got to get through this. Oh, Lord, I got to get through this. I know exactly what this is. I know it's the enemy. And then you go back to, oh, God. Okay, I know it's the enemy. You shake yourself. I know it's the enemy. I even went, I shake myself. It's the enemy. He's trying to get me distracted. He tries to get you distracted. And then he wants you to think it's that person. He wants you to think they're the ones doing it. And it's not. It's him. He's behind them, causing them to do what they do to get you upset with them, and then he sits back and laughs. Yeah. You know? So just remember that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But we do have a fight. And it's the good fight of faith. And notice it's a good fight. Amen. Because God gives us a measure of faith. Every one of us has a measure of faith. Okay? And it's given to us by God, and he tells us fight the good fight of faith. So that's where we fight. But the rest of that's the wrestle, you know. And, you know, have you ever watched wrestling? They roll around on the mat and try and pin somebody. Well, the enemy's trying to pin us. But he can't. Why? Because we win. We win. We have the victory in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, his love. He's with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we win. Okay? Now, we have armor to go with this warfare. We have armor, okay? And because of Satan's defeat, we're only wrestling, but God gives us that armor, okay? It's in Ephesians 6, verses 13 to 18. I'll give you a list, but you can turn there if you like. Okay. Oh, one other thing. Don't forget to use your faith. If you want it to grow, you need to use it, or it's just going to be stagnant. And you know, stagnant water kind of stinks. Amen. Yeah, you don't want to be stagnant. You don't want to stink. You want that faith to grow, so you want to use it. And let me tell you, use it on your small things first. A lot of people try and take their faith and use it on something really big, and then when it doesn't happen, well, I guess it doesn't work. It does. Start out small. You know, when you were a kid, you took little steps. Then you learn, well, first you learn to crawl. Well, some kids learn to scoot on their bellies. Then you learn to crawl. Then you learn to walk. Well, you didn't run, you took a step. Then you got faster, then you got faster, and then you walk faster, then you learn to run. After a while, you even learn to run a tricycle. So, and ride on those rides. But you didn't learn it all at once. So start small with your small things. Start believing God for something small, okay, Lord. Like, I made some masks for my sister because she lives in Florida. And, of course, you know, the mask mandate is a lot stricter there. And her granddaughters wanted masks. And I mailed the mask in an envelope, okay? Now, if you were to send it in a package, it gets there in 2 days. But it wasn't enough to go in a package, so I put it in an envelope. Estimated day of arrival, the 5th. Because I mailed it earlier that week. The 25th, sorry. The 25th, I had mailed it earlier that week. 14 days later, she's like, where's those masks? You didn't get it? No, we haven't gotten them. I'm like, You know what I mean? She said, I know you told me the 25th. I said, Lord, you know where the envelope is. You know how to get it to my sister, and I'm asking you to take care of that. I talked to her yesterday. She said, sure, I came the next day. Hallelujah. That's God. That's God. You know, he worked it out. Wasn't my problem. I gave it to him. He took care of it. Okay, back to the list. Sorry. First, we have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, the shield of faith. That says it's able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That shield. Put that shield up. The helmet of salvation, and then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay, that's six, but there's seven pieces. We're forgetting about prayer. Prayer is our seventh piece of the armor. It says praying, verse 18, praying with all prayer and supplication. Supplication is humble prayer addressed to God. In the spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, which is not giving up, and supplication for who? All saints. Okay? So we have that armor. Don't forget that last piece of armor, which is prayer. Because most of the times, that's what we forget. We put on everything else, and then we forget about prayer. Okay? And then, as I was doing this study this week, I noticed that most of the prayers, most of the time we're exhorted to pray, is for one another, for the saints, for the body, for one another. Okay? It says, I did find some places where, you know, the unbelievers, we can pray for them. They're not less important. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, it exhorts us, pray for all men with supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. And verse 3 says that this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4 says that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, he is willing that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, it doesn't say shall, it says should. And they should because Jesus has provided everything we need to be saved, to be protected. He provided the armor. He's provided the word. He's provided his life. So they should come to repentance. But, you know, as I know and you know, there are people who refuse to do it, to refuse to receive that free gift of salvation. And let me tell you, that's where prayer comes in. That last piece of armor, you know, because the God of this world blinds the minds of those who don't believe. Okay? That's 2 Corinthians 4:4. So the warfare that we are sometimes involved in is for them, for the unbelievers, because we're praying for those blinders to come down. But mostly it's supporting the body, because you need somebody, like in the military, if you think about it. Okay, you got your foot people, you got your Navy, you got your Air Force, you know. And so why would we need, you know, the Air Force if we could use the Army on foot? Or why would you send the Army to go after the submarine? Okay? So we all have our part. We all have our part to play in this. And so you need support. Those, you know, we all need support. Because our everyday living is supposed to be an example of Jesus Christ. So we need to be praying for one another, that we are covering each other to live and be the image of Christ wherever we are, on our jobs, at the marketplace. No matter where we go, that's what we need. Okay? So when I'm not saying that an unbeliever is less important. I'm just saying that we need that support for one another so that we can minister to unbelievers under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so as the GO team goes, the prayer team prays for them to be like Jesus, to encounter whoever the Holy Spirit has been dealing with, to love people the way God loves them, and to minister with boldness. That's Acts 4:29. Great power and grace, Acts 4:33. And when the believers then prayed because they were being threatened, because they had gone out and ministered, and they came and they gathered together and they began to pray. Lord, they didn't say, Lord, you see what they did? We don't want to do this anymore. But they said, Lord, give us boldness that we could go out and preach your word and let signs and wonders be done by your holy child, Jesus.
That's right.
And guess what? An earthquake happened. It did. Shook up the place. They were filled even more with the Holy Spirit. And then that's when they went out with the great power and great grace was upon them. We, who are believers, are carriers of life and light. And we want the people on the streets to see that. Yeah. You know, and you want to be smell of the fragrance of Christ. Yes. Because my vision is that the GO team goes out, we're praying for them, and people run up to them. What do you have that I need?
Amen.
Really, that's my prayer, is that they'll come. They'll come to them looking for what they want, what they need from the Lord. Not just that they're going out looking, that they're coming. I see something. Let's go talk to them. Oh, look at the, let's go see what they have. What is it about them that I need to go talk to them about? That is my vision of the new wine and the new wineskins. And as the people, the ones going out are being prayed over and are being led by the Spirit, that they're going to sense that. Just like they said in the scripture, I perceive you've been with Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. That's what we,
that's right.
People need to perceive that we've been with Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. So they would go with boldness. I know they go with boldness. I've seen them. I've talked to them. Man, do they go with boldness. So they're the ones that are going out on the street. We're praying for them because with boldness, they go share the love of God in such a way that people are rescued from the powers of darkness and they are being restored to the favor of God.
Amen.
Restored with his favor. Because you got to remember, he said, I love the world. I so loved them that I gave my son for them. We just need to let them know God's not angry with you. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. Right?
Yes. Right.
So that's what we're called to do. We're called to go and share the love of God because the return of Jesus is close.
Yes.
We can see it with everything going on, wars, rumors of wars, and all this nonsense going on. Yes. But God's still God. He's still on the throne.
Yes.
He still rules and reigns forever.
That's right.
Okay?
Yes.
So when you're praying, our prayers need to be honest and sincere.
Amen.
You know, and I know sometimes people start praying up here, and then after a while, it goes here. And then, you know, it's kind of just like, I mean, the gospel. I didn't get saved because I love God. I'll be honest with you. That's not why I did it. I didn't want to go to hell.
Right.
Period. That's it. Here's the way out. Okay, I'll take it. And then as I grew in my relationship with the Lord, then you grow to love him.
That's right.
Okay? And then you start doing things for him out of your love for him. Not because you can't, because I could do anything I want to, but it may not be beneficial.
That's right.
I'm just telling you, there's consequences when you do the wrong thing. There's consequences. But anyways, now I just love the Lord. I love him. I love him. I love him. And I want to do in whatever is in my power to do what he wants me to do. And so when we started in this book, the gifts and ministering of the Holy Spirit, I'm like, okay, Lord, Holy Spirit, show me. Show me. It is so good. Show me. And now ask him more often. Okay, Holy Spirit, what about this? How to do this? Just like with the envelope. I had a check missing from my landlord. Same thing. Lord, you know where that check is. Get it to the landlord. Amen. In the meantime, I had mailed him another one. Then after he got that one, day later, oh, I found that check. It was mixed in some junk mail. Okay. You want me to send it back? Nah, you can keep it for next month. But the Lord took care of it. And so, you know, your prayer, I didn't have to go into fasting and praying. It was a simple prayer. Lord, you know where it is. Get it to him. Holy Spirit, get that check to him. And so that's what I do now. It's like, okay, Holy Spirit, you know how to get it to him. You know what to do.
Amen.
So when we pray, God deals with people or situations, so we need to expect results. When we're praying, God is dealing with the people or the situations. That's why sometimes you're praying for somebody and they act ugly. they act real ugly with you. It's like, but you're praying for them, and then those demonic forces has to let go. You don't have any will over that person, but you have authority over the demonic forces. God said, I've given you authority. So we need to take authority over those demonic forces that are influencing those people. We can do it because Jesus said we could. Not in our own strength, but in his. Okay? Hallelujah. And because the enemy is blocking unbelievers' perception of the truth, we ask the Holy Spirit for help. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. Our prayers interfere with the forces of Satan, and the blinders are removed. Amen. And the Holy Spirit helps us.
Yes.
He prays. Now, the Holy Spirit will help us pray concerning any situation. We've just gotten to the place where it's like, well, that's not big enough. Well, God says, give me everything. Because, you know, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Okay? So we pray expecting things to happen. We may not see it like the song said, even though I don't see it. You're working.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
God's working. We may not see it, but our confidence is in the Lord. Now, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, Jesus, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
Amen.
And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked him.
Yes.
What a promise.
Yes.
He said, you can have it.
Wow.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Not me. But he said it, whatever you ask. And then the persevering part comes. And the patience in waiting.
Hallelujah.
The waiting, you wait. I know it seems like I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. But
it's coming.
Yeah. Just like, you know, today's Sunday. Guess what's coming? Monday.
Right.
Wait for it. You can't rush it. It's coming. It's coming on its own time. It's coming. Okay? So, I pray a lot in tongues. I really do. Yeah. Because the scripture says that the Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God in Romans 8:27. And I need all the help I can get. I do. So I do. I pray in tongues a lot. Okay? And so we want successful outreaches, so we want to get ourselves out of the way, get yourself out of the way, and let the Holy Spirit direct things. So through prayer, we put pressure on the demonic forces that are trying to keep God's will from being accomplished, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those people that we're out there talking to. Wherever, your job, the work, you know, your workplace, the marketplace, You might be just walking somewhere or jogging or something. And when the Lord says, okay, I want you to talk to them, you know that a demonic force is going to try and discourage you. Oh, you know what? They don't want to talk to you. Well, do it anyways. What's going to hurt?
Right.
You know? And then, like, I pray, you can, you know, pray against that spirit of rejection, because then rejection tries to come on you. Well, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Lord. It's not you. You just happen to be that vessel. If you think about it, we're all the same. We just have different skin, different color skin. And what's sad about it is, with man, if we didn't have any skin, we'd be mad because your veins are bigger than mine. You know, I'm serious. They'd find something. Well, look at your brain. I wish my brain looked like yours. You know, we'd find something. Everybody would find something wrong. It doesn't matter. So you got to remember, it's not you. It's the Lord they're rejecting. Not you. You just happen to be that vessel that the Lord wanted to use to get to them. Okay? And so these forces must be broken down through prayer so that the strongholds are destroyed and the spiritual blinders are removed from their spiritual eyes. Okay? And so that prayer covering, that prayer support, so important. And you know what the Bible says? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's in James 5:16. The Amplified Version says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. That's from the Woman's Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tremendous power available through prayer.
Yes.
You know, don't underestimate your prayers, because a lot of times, people will pray, nothing will happen, then they give up. Pastor Karen just read it. Don't give up. She didn't know I have that in my notes. Don't give up. And, oh, here it is. No, it's not. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's talk about the prayer of agreement. That's a powerful prayer. It says, again, I say to you that if any two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. It doesn't say it might be done. It said it will. Any two agree when you agree. Okay, so think about it. If you agree with the negative things in the world, you're agreeing with that. So we need to be watchful. Think about it. So you want to get into agreement with somebody who's agreeing with the word, agreeing with what God's will is, agreeing with what God is saying. Okay? So what has happened is I've set up the prayer team with at least two people praying each hour that they're out, so that we have two in agreement praying for them as they go out. Okay? That's powerful. And then if I get a text from one, from usually Tanya, and to let me know what's going on, I might send that to everybody involved, because I guess I figure there's, you know, the more. But at least two. There's at least two praying at that time. Okay? So they know they're being covered and they're being supported by prayer. Okay? Let's look at Mark 11:24. Sorry about that. Praise the Lord. It says, therefore, I say to you, now this is Jesus talking, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Okay? I'll read that again. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So believe, receive. Amen. Amen. Believe and receive. Yes. Thank you, Pastor Karen. It's hot up here. Those lights are hot. Praise the Lord. Okay. So when you're praying, you need to believe that you have it already. a lady gave an example one time, is on Monday, somebody said they were going to give her $20 on Saturday. Well, she was excited the whole week. Woo, Saturday's coming. She believed she had that $20 that day. She didn't know. Yeah. And even before she got it. So when Saturday came, it was even probably more exciting when she got the 20. So anyways, you got to, you know, like I said, Monday's coming, you know. So let's believe and receive. We are praying, believing and receiving souls to be added to the family of God and to this family. In the name of Jesus. Okay? And so now I want to talk about Jesus prayed. He's our example. What a great example. Okay? Before walking on water, he prayed in Matthew 14, 23. He went up to the mountain to pray with the Father. That was before he walked on water, Matthew 14, 23. Before going places to preach, he did the same thing. I want to read that one. It's Mark 1, 35 says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, help me, Jesus. He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." And then if you read that account, it says, "I have to go to other places to preach." Well, he prayed, then he had to go to other places to preach. Okay? Then there's a place where after preaching and healing, Luke 5:16, he himself withdrew into the wilderness often and prayed. Afterwards also, he would preach, he would heal, then he would go often. He's going to the Father. Before choosing the disciples, Luke 6:12. "Now it came to pass in those days that he went to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer." Help me again, Jesus. That was a major, major decision he was making, picking the disciples. So he had to get from the Father, "Who do you want me to pick?" Okay, so he spent all night on that one to find who is the disciples, okay? Before the betrayal and the crucifixion, Matthew 26:36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." Okay, another place, Mark 14:32. "Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.'" Okay, Luke 22:41, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and prayed." And then the last one from Jesus, his intercessory prayer for us. In John 17, verse 20, it says, "I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." So there's Jesus praying for us all that time ago. Not only that, the word says he's at the right hand of the Father forever making intercession for us. He is our example of spending time with the Father, seeing what he wants, and going and doing it. Okay? Spending time, praying and supporting one another, because I have no idea who you will meet in your day. Right. So we're going to pray. So I pray, I'm not trying to brag or anything. I'm really not. But I do pray that the blood of Jesus covers each one of you, and I name you by name. I don't just say to my Father's house family. I name you by name and some of your kids and some of your grandkids, if I can remember them. But I do, and that way, that day, I don't know what you're going to encounter. I don't know who you're going to encounter. I don't know what you're going to face that day. But you need that prayer covering to help you to represent Jesus at all times. I know that sometimes we can get in the flesh. Yeah. And that's where you go, "Stop that, you're not in charge." Amen. I've done it. Shut up, flesh. Yeah, you've had to do that. And tell her who's boss. Okay, now Jesus told his disciples, and that's where we come to where Pastor Karen said in Luke 18:1, that men ought to always pray and not lose heart. Okay, always to pray. If you're not praying for someone, if yourself, pray for someone. Pray for someone's family. Oh, just think about it. You reap what you sow. You're praying for somebody else's family, and then God's going to take care of your family. I just believe that. I believe when you're out ministering to help other people's families, that God's going to make sure your family is taken care of. I believe it. I do. I believe that wholeheartedly. That when you decide that, yes, Lord, I'm going to be willing and obedient. Okay, well, then I'm going to take care of what you're concerned about.
That's right.
You're concerned about your family.
That's right.
Okay, well, I'm going to take care of that while you're doing this.
Yep.
I just really believe that he's going to do that.
Amen.
Okay? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. This is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be full of anxiety. Right. When I was in school, somebody put, I'm anxious, and teacher said, you're full of anxiety? I went, no. Anxious doesn't mean excited, you know what how people mean it. They want to say, well, I'm anxious. No, that means you're full of anxiety. You don't want to be that way. You may be excited about something, but don't be anxious. Okay? And the word says, be anxious for nothing, telling you not to be anxious. The Lord is telling us not to be anxious. But in everything, in how many things?
Everything.
By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't forget to thank him.
Yes.
With thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
We love that peace, don't we? I love that peace. That picture that they show about peace is where the storm is happening and the little bird is tucked away in the cleft of the rock, and the storm just blows by. That's, we rest in the Lord and we have peace.
Amen.
We have peace. Okay? And then from that, we're going to go to Paul's prayers. Okay? In Ephesians 1, 16 to 23. We have Ephesians 3, 14 and 19. Philippians 1, 9 to 11. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. These are prayers Paul prayed for the brethren. And in these, he's praying for the brethren. At the beginning of most of these, he says, without ceasing, I make mention of you in my prayers. Without ceasing in these prayers. Okay? And there's others where he says the same thing. I don't forget to mention you in my prayers with thanksgiving. I don't cease to mention you in my prayers. That's Paul. He's praying for the brethren. Okay? We're part of the brethren. Okay? We're part of the brethren. So then he encourages us in Colossians 4:2-3a to continue earnestly in prayers, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, for the gold team, that God would open to them a door, or to us a door, for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. So that is a prayer I pray, that a door will be open for them to be able to talk to people. Right? It will have free course, that it will go swiftly, that it will penetrate the hearts of those they are talking to. Okay? It's important because we need that door open.
Amen.
Because as long as that door is shut, they're not going to listen. We don't want to hear that, you know. And a lot of times I've heard when they're on their outings, they might have two people. One is very interested and the other one is trying to distract and pull them away and that kind of thing. And so that's so important when they're out and the prayer team is praying, and then somebody will say, hey, this is what's going on. We have a distraction. So then we'll all start praying against that distraction. Then all of a sudden, well, they got something else to do. And they'll go away from them. And then they're able to minister to the person that the Lord has put in their path. That encounter, that divine appointment. That's it right there. So that's why, you know, I see prayer is so important, in especially during our new wine skins. Yes, yay. I'm really excited about it. Amen. Yes. But I'm not as excited as Tanya. I don't think anybody can outdo Tanya. At least not yet. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, and I want us to look at 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. That prayer I was telling you. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. That's what we want. We want the Lord to be glorified in this whole new ministry thing that we're doing now. This engaged team. We want the Lord to be glorified more than anything, for him to be glorified. Okay? And so we want his word to run swiftly so that he be glorified. And so we know there are people out there in need of hope, in need of love, in need to know that they have been rescued by Jesus and are part of a family. The family of God, and that the Lord wants to restore relationship with them through Jesus, and we have the good news to share with them about it. Okay? And but we that prayer is so important, because I'm sure everybody here who got saved, you said some kind of prayer, short, long, you declared, you confessed, but you did talk to the Lord about it. You did. And so we need to share with them to receive this free gift. This is what you need to do. Okay. And then we're in the background praying for those strongholds to come down, and whatever mindset they have against God and whatever idea they have against him. I pray. Oh, I always pray about that. Not who you think he is, and that he's not mad at you, that he really loves you, and everything he has for you is good. He said it. I have a future and a hope for you. And they need to know that. Amen. That he has that. And so another scripture, 1 Peter 4:7-9, talks about prayer. See how much I like prayer? It says, but the end of all things is at hand. And it is. We can see it. We can see it. Okay? And I'm going to stop there and say, the Lord has told me several times, stop praying for things I've already given you. It's like, okay, just thank me. So remember that. If it's in your word and the Lord said you have it, just like he said, not trying to step on toes, okay? He said, the blessings of the righteous are on, the blessings of the Lord are on the head of the righteous. Well, are you righteous?
Yes.
Well, then the blessings of the Lord are on your head.
That's right.
They're there. He said, if you give, bring your tithes. What did he say to do? Open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings. Are you a tither?
Yes.
Then the windows of heavens are opened and the blessings are pouring out. He said, goodness and mercy will do what? Follow you all the days of your life. All of them. We need to get to the place where we believe the word above anything, above our circumstances, above what we feel, above what we see.
Right.
Oh, but God said, and the Lord told me a long time ago, if somebody says anything about you that does not line up with the word of God, who's lying? Really, who's lying? He's not a man that he should lie. He can't lie. So if he says you're righteous, then you're righteous. If he says you're holy, you're holy. If he says you're redeemed, you're redeemed. If he says you're blessed, you're blessed.
That's right.
Because he said it. Not because I said it, but because he said it.
Amen.
So try and remember that. Oh, If they say something, I used to tell people, good thing you're not God, when they say stuff about me. Ooh, good thing you're not God, I'd be in trouble. So that, you know, and or I'd say, well, did they die for you? Then why do you care what they say? You know, think about it. Really, what? Why? Because God's word is final. It's the truth. Yes. It's the truth about you. Right. It's the truth about me. Yes. Amen. Amen. Okay, back to the scripture. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. One time somebody asked me, is that in the Bible? I was like, yeah, right there. It's in there. That's where I got it. It's on my paper, but it's in there. Just want you to know. It says, and above all things, I wanted to add this because I've read this and then it just hit me when I read this the other day. It says, above all. Okay, everybody here? Above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. I was like, okay, Lord, that hit me. Above all. I've read it, but it says above all things, have fervent love for one another. In other words, if you think about what love says, love does not take an account of wrong suffered. So we need to have that fervent love for one another. Love is patient. Love is kind. You know, those things that love never fails. It never fails. So we need to have that fervent love for one another. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. I want to remind us of a story, Daniel in the lion's den. He did not back down with his prayers. They made a decree. They tricked the king, King Darius, into making a decree that no one could pray to anyone but him because they knew that was the only way they could get Daniel. Because Daniel was the Bible says, an excellent spirit. And he did what was right by the king and did what was right by God. And three times a day, he would go and pray, open his windows, whoosh, and pray towards Jerusalem. Well, I want you to know who was he praying for? His Israel. He was praying for the people. That's why I was saying we need to make sure we pray. He was praying for the people, okay? And he did not let that decree stop him. And when Darius found out what was happening, Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Okay? Even the ungodly king fasted and prayed for Daniel. Isn't that something if we get the unbelievers fasting and praying for us to be okay. Anyways, he fasted and prayed for David because he was going to make David over everything because of David's integrity. When he finds out, he goes, David, was your God able to save you? Yes, the angel of the Lord came and shut the mouths of their lions and they did not hurt me. Good, get him out. Got him out. And what was sad was not only did those governors, and they called them satraps, and all of them get thrown in the lion's den, but their children and their wives were thrown in there too because they look at that. Those men may have been teaching their family the same corrupt ways, and he wanted it out of the kingdom. And it says that the lions actually tore them to pieces before they even hit the bottom. But that did not deter David. Daniel, thank you. That did not deter Daniel from praying. So when something comes our way, it should not deter us from praying, okay? And then the king even made a decree that Daniel's God is God. Amen. And that's, you know, that was good. That was Old Testament. New Testament, Peter was in prison. He was like in the double stocks back there in between two people. And the angel of the Lord, isn't that something how the angel of the Lord got in there, didn't wake anybody up but Peter, and then had to smack him. He said he struck him upside the head. It's like, and yeah, gird yourself. And the chains all fell off and come this way. And Peter thought he was dreaming till he got out. And even the gate opened on its own. And then the angel left him. Well, there was constant prayer for Peter. But what's amazing about it is when Peter goes and knocks on the door, Rhoda didn't let him in. Oh, it's Peter, and ran back into place. Peter's out there, oh, no, you're seeing his ghost. Like, no, it's Peter, it's Peter. Now, we're praying and believing, oh, get Peter out, oh, get Peter out, oh, get Peter out. And then Peter's out, oh, that ain't Peter. So, were they praying expecting or just doing what was right? I don't know. I'm trying to think about that. Is that what they, maybe that was the norm. Well, let's just pray. But maybe nothing will happen. Well, here they are. Here's Peter. He's out, and they were astonished. What? They didn't expect their prayer to be answered. We do. We do. So, what giftings do you have? Go team, prayer team, disciple team, all the teams. Praise the Lord. We're welcoming everybody. There's a place for everybody. Everybody. So what's stirring in your heart? We are want to go. We want to pray. We want to disciple. We want the new wine and new wine skin because we're on the winning side. That's right. And Jesus has secured our victory. Okay, and we want to share this news with others that we have victory. Jesus is the victorious one. He's our champion, our king. And even though there's warfare, the battles are won. And as a matter of fact, the Lord said, the battle's not yours, but it's mine. So he's won the battles for us. So we're ready for, We've been working on it. We've been testing it out, and it works good. It really works good. And so we're doing this because we want to invite you to be a part. It's so exciting to hear the testimonies. And it's so exciting to hear when the Holy Spirit tells us something, then we tell them, or when the Holy Spirit tells them and they tell us. And we know what went on in the prayer room. So that's all I got. Thank you very, very much. Amen. Oh, and thank you. Thank you, Facebook Live. We're going to pray for you. Well, here, live, at my Father's house. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. You're so good, and your mercy endures forever. And Father, I thank you that if you're stirring in the hearts of anyone on Facebook Live, that they're placed praying, going, discipling, whatever part they have to play in your plan, I pray, Father God, you would just cause it to solidify in their hearts, Father God. And I just thank you, Lord God, that if any of them are in need of healing, restoration, reconciliation, Lord God, we thank you by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you are moving in their lives, moving in their families, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for anyone who needs a financial blessing. We praise you and thank you for it. We thank you, Lord God, for revealing yourself to them, showing forth yourself strong on their behalf. We just give glory and honor to you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.